Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have two lovely guests joining us. We have Christy Levy. She is a gifted spiritual medium with this extraordinary ability to channel non-physical intelligence. She connects people directly to their spirit guides for life path, I would say life path clarity, and then co-hosts the Dead Talk series. Joining her today is Gary Temple Bodley, a spiritual teacher, author of four books, and the channel for a collective of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Gary has spent a decade translating complex spiritual laws into practical life tools on his hit podcast, Joshua Live. So together they do co-host The Unimaginable Life, where they don't just talk about spirituality, they let you experience it. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
It's a pleasure.
you. I would like to, if we could start at the beginning, how did the two of you end up teaming up or connecting?
I was channeling Joshua. It started in 2013, and then the podcast started, and Christy found the podcast. At the time, I had a course that was channeled called the Boot Camp, and Christy signed up for the Boot Camp. And we became friends. She came to a retreat right away. And then, as she was doing the boot camp, what the boot camp does is it's a intense course that helps you process limiting beliefs, reduce the intensity of those, and also raise the intensity of your empowering beliefs. And doing this over a number of months, she was able to shift her perspective of herself in a reality, which is what this work is, to a point where she was at my house again for Thanksgiving. And we were with a bunch of friends. And Christy, why don't you explain what happened to you?
Maybe I should. Well, nothing happens to me,
I know, I'm kidding.
but what happened for me? You would have to possibly have known me, but I was very skeptical. It was not woo-woo. I didn't. A lot of our friends were, but I thought that was all a bunch of silliness. So the first dead person came through. It was like an earworm of a name. And I just had to stop our friends and say, "Do we have a friend named Maria? Because something's going on. I don't know what it is, but I'm just getting this weird message." It turned out over, this was several hours before we finally figured out what was happening, but it was one of our friend's grandmother who had transitioned 5 or 6 years before that came through. And the things that I was getting were so specific and, not anything, right, but that I could ever know that anyone would know. They were so hidden and flipped me out. And I was crying actually. I can't do this. This is weird. I don't know what's happening. So, but once that started, it just didn't stop. It was sort of this avalanche of clairvoyance, sentience, the dead people, a group that I was channeling that similar to what Gary does with Joshua, just a lot of things. And it was a little overwhelming, but it was never too much for me to handle. And the dead people are very, very nice. They never bothered me. It was just, I would just get this stuff and it was right there. So that was after doing the boot camp 8 times, that course of Gary. So it was, I had been doing the work for over 2 years. And that was when it happened and it came on fully realized. I think we see it a lot in our community with people as they actually, the ones that actually really do the work, because it's very simple. It's just not easy. It's very straightforward, very practical, very simple, but it can be rough. The ones that do it are all becoming mediums or have clairvoyance, all sorts of funny, wild things. But that was it. And then Gary just encouraged me, as I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know anyone else that did it. So he would ask questions and encourage me and talk and ask more questions as they would come through until I was practiced and started to really understand how to harness it and what was going on. And then, of course, in that, we just came up with some ideas together. And he said, "Well, we'll just do this together," because he was on his own. So that was it. And that was in about 2022 or three that we started together.
Wow. And I think some people might want to understand how you got over your skepticism throughout this process. I think that's helpful for them. That'd be helpful for them.
I got over it because it was happening to me, and there was no way that I couldn't deny it. I've never had a very good visual imagination for imagery, guided meditations where they say, float down a river and see this flower. I've never really been able to do that. And things were coming in for me in pictures, in moving pictures and pictures that were so clear. And there's no way I could have done that. And the pictures were of things that would lead me on to put something together. And then once I would say it, the pictures would go away, the smell, everything. It was so clear for me. And the things that came through for so many people were memories of when they were four and a song that dad used to, just things that bizarre that something was, they were looking for was had fallen behind the dresser and was right. And things like this, I couldn't deny it. So my skepticism ended. I had to eat my words enough. I would say, well, that's not real. That's not possible. Right? Mediums are, they put plants in the audience. That's just fake. Yeah. And then I had to eat my words. And then the next thing and the next thing until I finally just said, you know what? Anything is possible. If someone tells me that that's what, that I believe it. You just have to go through the experience, I think, I don't think you're just going to change your mind about something that you don't believe in. Our work, though, is about that. It's about really opening, bending, stretching your belief structure. And it isn't overnight. It's little by little, these beliefs that limit us. And I think what happens is that my belief structure stretched, bent, changed so much around myself and in my reality that it allowed for things to be possible that would never have been before. Over that 2 years, I really think that's the key to it. If you can find a way that resonates with you to uncover those beliefs that are limiting you, pump up the ones that are already there that empower you and raise your vibration in that way, then unimaginable things happen because you are only seeing what you believe. You're only seeing what is a reflection of what you already believe. When you start to shift that, a whole new world shows up. I think that's the only way to do it that I'm aware of.
So as a medium, most people understand, okay, you're channeling their family members who have been deceased. But I know we were talking about this prior to the recording. If one of you wouldn't mind sharing again, how, like the story of how like these historical figures started coming out of the woodworks and popping in.
So when Chris and I first started getting together, we were in a hotel and we were just sitting there talking about how common it is for comedians and rock stars to die young. Just a normal conversation. Then a few minutes later, we're out in the patio and suddenly Chrissy feels someone playing with her hair. And so we never know who it is. They always give us clues. So this was the very first one. And so this person mentioned Red Arrow Summer Camp, mentioned a bunch of things. And I'm Googling and it turns out to be Chris Farley. And so we have this long conversation with Chris Farley. We got Chippendales, you know, we got a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah. That was really funny.
Love that. And
so how cool is this? I mean, this is my favorite thing. This is so fun to do. But we didn't have any control over it. It just came half an hour later, Tom Petty comes through. And we have this hour-long spiritual conversation with Tom Petty. Tom Petty is basically verifying everything that's been taught to us through Joshua and through White Light and even Abraham. And we're asking, they're like, is someone who becomes a rock star, is that because their spirit is like more advanced or something? And they said, no, it just is an exploration. That is one way to explore his pre-birth intentions. But we're sitting there, we have our little speaker out there playing our little playlist, and suddenly Tom Petty's song comes on. And it's not
on
in
my
our playlist, right? While he's talking to us, you know, stuff like that. So we just thought this was fun, and this would happen every week or 2 weeks or so, and sometimes in just us, sometimes with our friends. And then never once did we think about recording it. And then suddenly Prince comes through, and we had this four-hour conversation with Prince. And then in half hour into it, I go, geez, I got to record this, get on my phone. And it was just the two of us on the porch. And the phone dies after about an hour and a half, but that became our first podcast. We said, oh, we got to make a podcast. And so what we're learning here is when you shift your perspective of yourself in your reality, when you expand that perspective, that is translated into a vibration. That vibration then creates your reality. So as you expand your perspective, you expand that vibration, and that means you expand what's possible. That's why our podcast is called An Unimaginable Life, because you cannot imagine where life will take you once you do this work to expand your perspective. And that's really what's happening here. As we expand our perspective, our belief system also expands, and then we allow in these different things. And Chrissy and I were not woo-woo, but here we are doing activations, speaking light language, toning, the woo-woo-est things you ever heard of in your life, and they're part of our normal stuff that we do at retreats and things like that. And you get so much validation from these experiences that others are having. There's just so much more going on here. This is when you're awakening to the fact that this is not just a tangible material reality. There's stuff going on behind the scenes that is beyond our imagination.
Definitely. And so for both of you, who has been the most surprising historical figure that you've conversed with?
Well, probably the most popular one was Princess Diana and Robin Williams together coming to talk about a specific subject. But there's sometimes we know who they are. Sometimes they're super famous like that. And sometimes we've never heard of them before. But you can find them and you realize, oh my God, this person was responsible for all this stuff in their life, you know, and really knows about this one topic they're coming to talk about us. And so it's very interesting. It's sort of evolved over the years, but recently they're taking a spiritual topic that we're all in our group working on. And two people come in who their lives, they were interested in that subject as well. So they resonate with that subject, but it follows the previous TED talk that we had. And it's like the staircase that they're lifting us to higher and higher possibilities and ideas. To the point right now, when we hear them, we're like, we don't really get it until we listen back to it again, because it's getting pretty lofty. Yeah.
Yeah, the last one was about time and I think how, you know, time doesn't really exist. It was very interesting. It was way over my head. It was above my pay grade.
So I'm curious, even as a medium, when you're working with clients, I mean, does this happen, you know, unexpectedly when you're with a client, like a historical figure will just come in randomly, depending on the topic, or no?
No, I typically, I have, I guess you would call it an intention when I'm going to sit with someone. If what they're wanting is a spirit guide session, usually that's what happens. Not always, but usually. People come to me occasionally just to contact a transition loved one. That's just not really what I do. Transition loved ones come in all the time, but typically just to reassure them, to help them understand that this is real, and then they move on to their spirit guides. The TED Talks and the famous people has been such an interesting thing, because it really was just for us and our group of friends. It was just these funny things that would happen. And it's evolved so much that it's become a game. And it really is that I have to set it up. I have to sort of go to them. It gets, or I feel like I call them, they say I go to them and get them. But it's evolved where it used to be that Gary and our friends, when we would do them live, we might have 30 people and I would have to leave the room and they would choose the continent, male or female, the decade or the century that they're from, what their area of expertise was. And then I would come back and they would tell me. And as they would tell me, the dead people would clear out until it came to one person that fit all of those categories. So it's evolved so much from then to what you see and hear now. But it's never something where a dead person just pops in and interrupts someone's spirit guide session unless the famous person is one of their spirit guides, which happens often.
Oh, really? That's a common
Yeah.
phenomenon.
It happens frequently. Yeah. Where, I'm with someone and it was funny that her spirit guide was Maya Angelou, which I thought was really cool. There's a few that have been just insanely cool like that.
Yeah. In fact, we have this program called the Freedom Project, and part of the Freedom Project is it's this 100-day program. It's much like the boot camp, but it's customized for each person. And how we customize it is the spirit guides will come in and they'll talk to the person about how to go about this 100-day process to change their mental construct. And before they have a spirit guide reading, I have a call with the person, the student, and we sort of get into their field and talk about their perspective of their life now. And many times, some person means so much in their life, some historical figure, and that person. I never talked to Christy about it. Christy had no idea what we're talking about until we all get together. And me and the student who's on this call now, when Christy's bringing in someone, like in this case, it was, I get Maya. Maya, who's, and I know this because Maya Angelou was on our other podcast, came in as one of the dead people. But this was this person's spirit guide. And we're both together going, it's Maya Angelou. I told you it's going to be her, right? And this was someone who was so important in her life. But Maya Angelou in that spirit guide reading said, we aren't, I'm just not. Your spirit guide, I'm passing the torch of what my life was to you. This is a very high performing person, and she couldn't fathom the fact that she was getting the baton passed to her. She was going to carry on Maya Angelou's work in her life. This is the kind of stuff that happens in the spirit guide readings, which is also so fun and fascinating too.
They were my favorite thing.
Yeah,
They're really fun.
but people will have angelic guides or galactic guides. The galactic ones are interesting because they're alive on some other planet right now, and somehow they become this person's guide. They're not from the non-physical, they're actually physically focused. And it's super interesting how that part works as well.
It's always fun.
So, if you are open today to bringing a historical figure during the call, we can. If not, that's also okay. It's really up to you guys.
It's our favorite thing to do. We love
Okay.
doing it because it's always different and it makes these conversations totally unique no matter who we're talking to. And it'll probably be someone that you are very interested in or talk about a subject that you or your audience is specifically interested in as well.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. All right, so you guys want to do this now?
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, I get my Google out. They're going to give us clues.
That's
Sometimes
always
it's a
fun.
book title. Maybe they were an author. Sometimes it's a quote that they're famous for. Sometimes it's a birth date.
Lot of imagery. I usually get a lot of imagery, so you have to
Yep.
deal with that more so than words at first.
And generally, two of them will come in.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah,
Yep.
I just I have a notebook and I just scribble. So,
Sure.
all right.
This is the part of dead air.
It's fine. I understand
I
completely.
didn't
Didn't edit
edit
it. Your time.
it.
Wow. Okay. You just can see a like a what a tan safari suit would look like. You know what the Australian guy used to wear all the time. Yeah, it's like that, but definitely on a female with a ponytail. I just can't see the front of her. She's sort of just showing me that. Come on, don't be like that. Okay. What's that? Binoculars. She's looking through binoculars.
Does it
Old
jingle at
ones.
all?
Yeah, how in the hell did you get that so
It just
fast?
came into my head. I don't know how I got
What's
that.
the name?
Jane Goodall.
That's
Oh,
her.
Jane Goodall. Oh, nice. Okay.
I know she's with the, she did work with the gorillas, right? Yeah. I don't know much about her, but yeah. Okay. Interesting. Next one. This one's male. She's not going to say anything yet, which is sometimes unusual. Sounds male, but they seem like they're really good friends. I can't tell, but it seems like they are the way their energy is. Okay. All right. It says he's really sparkly, like blue and gold sparkly. He's shooting stars around him. Okay, what is that? Very playful, curious, a little different from her. Yeah, really creative. Wow, okay. Here's another Oscar statue.
Yeah.
Another Oscar statue, but like, okay, the number's important. Hold on. 26.2. Okay. 26. 26. Okay. That's funny. That's important. Bring that then. There's a tie, like a man's tie. It's very important. Like the logo on the tie is S, STR. Can't really get the logo very clearly, but those are the letters STR on the tie. Not his initials, it's something else. Okay, I got it. He says, okay, excuse me, something. It's fun to do the impossible. It's fun to do the impossible. It's fun to do the impossible. Okay. It's fun to do the impossible. He's like holding something behind his back. It's like there's, I
Is it
can't really see the front of him.
Walt Disney?
Yeah, you got it. You got
Oh,
it. That's him. Okay.
he came through on my birthday 2 years ago. So every
That's
birthday I
right.
have,
You get somebody.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have
That's right.
Walt
He did.
Disney and
Yeah.
Jane Goodall.
Have fun. Is that okay? So let me sort of, let me see if I can get the, they seem really tight, like good friends, but the, let's see, the words are gonna stop. All right. So they came together because and it's for you because people think often that, or you know, the average person, that wonder is for kids, for children, and you're playing in a world where that's coming back, right? It's coming back to you, this play and wonder and awe. And what a lot of your purpose is, something that you may or may not be aware of, I can't get that from them, but it's so many adults have forgotten how much they actually know. It's like they, it's like stop pretending they know everything. Some of your intention is reminding them that wonder isn't childish, that it's how reality introduces itself to you. Reminding people that the moment you believe that you've got everything figured out, you actually stop seeing anything. That wonder Yeah, they really want to stay on that. Okay, for you for some reason. Or people that are listening to you. Wonder is its openness, this willingness to engage, to encounter something without immediately deciding what it means. It's wonder is about what hangs around when your certainty starts to relax. And children are sort of there naturally, but most adults are just trying to get it back. And whether you are really aware of it or not consciously aware of it, that's a big part of your purpose and your intention is this idea of bringing that wonder and awe back to adults who are craving it. This is him. They were talking together. This is going to be helpful, like for you and for your listeners to know that the reason that as adults we sort of lose that sense of wonder is because certainty feels so much safer. Nothing is certain, but this perception of certainty is a lot safer. So he says when he was making movies, everybody wanted guarantees, right? They wanted proof. They wanted to know the outcome before they went on the journey. But the unimaginable does not work that way. And life doesn't work that way. Everything is constantly changing. Nature's changing, right? Everything. Nothing is fixed, but adults try so hard to create security by pretending that life should be predictable, right? And that's a big part of what you are, your intention. You're at least, you're leaning in that direction of bringing that back. Fear? What? Okay. So they said fear, like fear itself isn't really, it's not like an enemy. It just narrows your attention and your focus. I kind of think this might be something you're thinking about. They seem to be pretty direct here. If you're in a forest and you are suddenly afraid, you don't notice the birds singing or the beauty. You only see threats. But the same thing happens in life. When fear takes over, and not just fear in the sense of things that are rational, like being afraid for your physical safety or some enough harm like that, but fear in the sense of I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. Those types of, that's what they're calling fear. And when that takes over, all of the possibility of your life or even your next moment disappears. And the world suddenly becomes much, much smaller than it actually is or could be for you. And that's why what you do or what you're intending to do is so valuable to help people begin to have awe and wonder in a bit of place of some fear so that possibilities begin to open. And like that's a beginning, that's a gateway. Isn't that interesting?
What do
Really cute.
Jane and Deanna have in common?
Interesting. So she says that in it's the way that they approach wonder. I love this. She says in what she's speaking of and the way that she connects with her is that wonder for them, it isn't abandoning common sense. And they're both very much in that vein here of this topic. It's not, she doesn't view it as fantasy, and neither does she, right? It's not fantasy. It's the first glimpse of reality before reality becomes visible. And they both exactly share that perspective on wonder. And those wonderful things. Isn't that cute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cute. Do you get that? Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. It's a beautiful message.
Yeah, that's what you have, right? What you have in common. So, so Jane says, okay, something that is she asking that? Okay. I don't know. I feel like she's answering a question of yours, but I can't quite put it together. So, it's surprising to her from her perspective is that how much life is helping people. And it's interesting is that most people believe that they are sort of navigating life all by themselves, right? Life alone. And from their perspective now, something they did not understand when they were in life, and that you don't understand necessarily, they want to like support you with this and your listeners with this, is that there is constant support. It's constant. Helpful encounters, inspirations, opportunities, synchronicities, and the list goes on and on and on. And that's your evidence that life is talking to you and everyone all the time. It's just that even you are thinking that you're having a random thought, but actually you are, right? You're aware of the communication, where you're clear, you get it clearly, but even at times it's coming to you and even you believe it's a random thought, right? So do I. The communication is so constant. So they're funny. All right. So when there are people, and maybe you come in contact with them a lot or hear from them a lot, that they feel kind of stuck, right? They don't know, they're like, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I on the right path, right? Sort of that kind of thing. And what they want to say is just very much tweak that. And rather than asking a question that's, what's my purpose? The answer to that is, what interests me right now in this moment? The next step is never hidden from you. The entire map is almost always hidden, but the next step isn't. And the beautiful thing is that it's what is lighting you up, what is interesting you. The fear part of it is that that would be impractical, that would upset people, I can't make money doing that, right? That will be a waste of the next hour, whatever it is, just this moment, right? What's interesting to me right now. And that's just the next step. It doesn't mean anything about where it's going. It's just follow that next step. You're never stuck. The next step is never hidden. Just take a moment and understand what interests you right now, even if it's just walk to the kitchen and eat an apple. The next step is there. The question of what's my purpose and am I on the right path isn't the question. You never get there with that question. I think that's really cool.
Is there something too about leaning into something when you're stuck? I just had the experience yesterday where I was doing some yard work. I got something happened to my hip and it was really hard to walk. Then I had the inspiration, you know how to fix this, walk. Right? Do the mm-hmm. thing that you don't want to do because it hurts to do it. And so I took the dog on a walk, and by the time I got back, I was fine. It was counterintuitive.
Oh, they're laughing. There isn't a stagnant one size fits all answer to that. To tell someone who is overly vigilant, hyper responsible, whose identity is built around hard work and doing the right thing and doing the hard thing, to hear that message would be to have them lean into all that is blocking them from following their true inspiration. The simplicity here, this is cool. What interests you in the moment is finding more ways to participate in your life rather than observe it. That's what interests you. What interests you is to get the message, you know how to fix this. You fix it by walking, participate, lean in. It isn't do the thing that you don't want to do. It's what interests me right now. That interested you right in that moment. And it was exactly the thing for you to do. The message was in that. You Wow. know what to do. The pain was about thinking you don't know, you don't hear it.
Right. And I did.
That's interesting. I just got that. I just got, whoa. Sometimes they say these things and I'm like, what? Okay. That
yeah,
was good.
So
yeah.
It's,
that was cool. Wow.
We did a spirit guide reading, and my spirit guide came in and told me that I'm the one who teaches this Freedom Project, and Chris and I put it together, told me I'm going to be a student of it. And so I join as a student of it, and my modules is a custom design for me. My module is about participation, right? Getting that thought and then doing that thought.
Yeah.
And here's
Taking
what they're
action.
Talking about right here.
That's so interesting. That was funny. Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really funny. Okay, this is Jane. Okay, what are you doing? She's just sitting back. She's very groovy energy. She's kind of intense, but wow. She keeps like reaching before she talks, and then as she finishes too, she sort of like reaches her hand out, like someone might reach out for you to take their hand. It's really cool, but I'm not really sure that I understand. There's something in it. I'll get there. So she just says, wonder isn't something that you find. It's something that you allow. And part of your intention with bringing that wonder and curiosity back to people that have somehow forgotten it, like most people, is about, it's almost about the way they're saying it's like misdirection or distraction, to have like conversations and things vibrationally going out there for people to pay attention to and listen to, that they forget. They get so into that and focused in that, that their cork rises, like their vibration goes up, and it allows them to experience that wonder and curiosity even for a moment. And once they do, the path back to it is easier and easier and easier for them. That what you are, oddly, what you are doing, like the underlying thing that is happening here is teaching that your life becomes much more interesting the moment that you stop, and the word is like demanding certainty before you play in it, before you participate in it. Go on the walk when it hurts, right? You didn't say, I'll only do this if I know that I'll feel better. You just took the step and went on the walk. And that's what somehow this is tying in with, what you're teaching, what you're bringing in, part of your pre-birth intention.
Deanna's.
It's about imagine bigger, staying curious. It's very interesting, this place between what they're showing me. It's like between observation and imagination, where this wonder creeps in, and it's all around you. It's like what you're doing. Are you aware of it? Is this something that you've thought about, or is it just something that they're bringing into you?
Well, I think potentially yes, potentially maybe not. I'm not sure. I am a very practical person. I am one of those people who truly likes the security, like most people, and the certainty. But I think, honestly, I probably live like half my life like traditionally with that security and certainty. If I do this, then X, Y, and Z will happen. And the other part of me is exploratory. So it feels like it's, balancing act.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is a reason that you see yourself and you have this very practical. That makes sense. It makes sense that we started this podcast and you were curious about me being skeptical and how that shifted. A huge part of your pre-birth intention is about this, is about that moment of wonder and awe, and bringing that not just to you, but it's a big to a lot of people. It's teaching that. It just makes sense to me that you think that and you live practically, and that's important to you, that safety and security, that you'd have to do that to experience this flip. And I think that's why they're telling you that is a part of it, right? That it probably would be shocking, as I couldn't tell. It's like, is she aware of this or not? And they're just chuckling in the background going, that's really, really interesting. They're like I say, for a show that's called Lift Your Spirits, right? They wouldn't you naturally like help people feel lighter, right? Not intellectually impressed, not what's practical and logical, not even spiritually challenged, actually lighter. The name isn't an accident. It's just really funny. It's like this, you are doing much better than you think, is what they're getting at. It's I don't know. It's really interesting. It's great. It's just you. You are actually with the name of it, you are helping people get lighter, raise their vibration. That's really cool.
Well, from their perspective now compared to their perspective before, how do they see planet Earth?
Oh wow. So Jane she says very much she feels better now, right? She is much more alive, she says, than she realized when she was here, right? Not alive with animals and plants and ecosystems. That's certainly there. But with consciousness, with becoming. And she says, wow, this is cool to talk to her about this. Earth isn't a place. Humans see it as a place. From where she sits, Earth is a process. Wow. A process of discovery, right? Itself, yourself, all one, right? All one in the same. That's right. That's it. It's difficult. Jane says it's very difficult here because it's one of the few places in the entire universe where uncertainty and feels so real and separation feels so real. That's why it is so challenging, right? That's why, because it feels so damn real. Yeah. Wow.
And how about Walt,
well, yeah, he's go ahead.
Who made playgrounds? Did he see Earth as a playground when he was alive, and how does he see it now?
So that's just funny that you asked it that way, because he's doing it is sort of playgroundish, like I would call it an adult sort of, you know, playground, like I can't get, he's messing with me now. Stop with that. All right. So he's very mischievous. And I don't remember that when he came in for your birthday, but I don't know. He sees it. It's not so much a playground, but he says, oh, that's why I'm seeing it this way. Okay. Thank you. It's the greatest creative studio in the universe. And he's not laughing about that. Like, he's really serious, right? When he was alive, he thought that imagination was something that humans, that we possessed, right? That we had. And he says now, from his perspective, what he sees is that imagination is something that reality itself is doing, like he's actually doing it. Okay, keep going. Every person, every life, every relationship, every challenge, invention, every business, right? Every kid, every conversation, everything. Creation, creation, creation. Creation, creation. Earth is misunderstood by those of us who live here as it's supposed to be complete. But he says, from his perspective, it's under construction always. Another way of saying what Jane said was is that it's a process. He says, we all look at our lives, and we see these unfinished projects, sort of. And what he sees when he looks at it is an unfinished masterpiece. That's how they view it.
And wow.
It's really, the emotion of that's really, really cool. I wish you could feel that.
Is creation always begun in the imagination? Is that like how this creation process works? It starts with the thought. The thought is then imagined, or the fruition of the thought, maybe imagine. How does imagination play in the creation process?
Right. So really, what they're saying is that it generally begins with what they would call curiosity. But we could also call it desire. But it's really more curiosity, right? It doesn't start in the imagination, but we tend to notice it there first as humans. What we call imagination, they say, is our first translation of something that's much deeper. Before there is imagination, there is actually attraction, right? And before there is attraction, there is curiosity, which is where they were getting. But even before curiosity, there's awareness. Something catches your attention. Something kind of stirring, right? Even a little whisper, something kind of like feels alive. And it's only after that does the imagination begin sort of building pictures around it, right? That's Walt's sort of take on it. Jane says that long before imagination is feeling, and we create far more with our feeling than we do with our thought. The feeling is what, right, is what does it. So she says, long, long, long before she began like restudying, researching the animals, chimpanzees, is that right? Chimpanzees. So she says before she started studying them, she actually really loved them. There was something about a toy, like a stuffed animal or something, a toy that maybe dad gave her or something. So that she just sort of fell in love with them. And so before she had a plan, she had a fascination with them. And before she had a career, there was the wonder. The intellect, right, and the creation of all those other things came much later. Often we reverse that process here. We like think, right? And then she says, we say, first I need the plan, right? And then I need some kind of certainty. And then I need some sort of confidence. And then I'll start. And that's not really it. Most creation just begins as this little tiny sort of spark that makes no logical sense. Right, for Jane, she says it's feeling. For him, something different.
What I'm coming to understand is the vibrational differences between humans and animals, and that it doesn't seem to me that animals have any interest in harming humans, but there is a vibrational disconnect going on there sometimes when they interact. Maybe it's fear, I don't know. From her perspective now, how does she see the interaction between vibrationally between animals and humans?
Oh, that's great. Well, okay, so she says we've gotten that information, that understanding that the majority of the times that an animal attacks a person is really it's energetic. It's a vibrational discord and a resistance sort of on the part of the animal, right, to that. And she's like, she would say that, understand that animals are not a lower vibration, right, than humans, but because certainly from where they are now, that they understand, they can see that hierarchy is completely gone, right? It's just not there. Because they are expressions of consciousness, just like, right? That's what you're saying, just like, right, just like we are. They're just participating in a different experience. So they are anchored in the present moment. And they are extraordinarily responsive, aware, and they don't really carry psychological time, she says. I don't really understand that. Do you guys understand
Yeah, they don't see
that?
time the
Okay.
way we do.
Okay. So there isn't regret or anticipation. There's no identity at all. And there's certainly no narrative with them because they are so anchored in the present moment. They never spend any time wondering if they made a mistake 3 years ago. Isn't that funny, right? And they're not constructing elaborate futures about what might happen, right? Next week, next month, right, ever. And we have this capacity for imagination that they just don't have. And that's what allows us to create symphonies, airplanes, books, novels, businesses, and even massive empires, right, and civilizations. But it also allows us to worry and consume ourselves on things that actually don't exist. And she says animals are just not particularly interested in this hobby. Right? So she's gonna go on, and I think she likes this question. Animals are more, what are you saying? Like, it's like a unified, and humans are more differentiated, right? Animals typically embody frequency. And humans are more about exploring frequencies, right? A horse could spend a lifetime. I love this. So she's given me, my horse. So a lifetime just expressing freedom, right? And a dog will spend a lifetime just expressing devotion, certain. Right, energetic frequency. A dolphin might spend a lifetime just expressing playfulness, right? But humans are all the time exploring all kinds of different states, fear and courage, love, grief, expansion, contraction. Certainty, uncertainty, right? Trust, doubt, all these different things. And the human experience, therefore, she says, is astonishingly like dynamic, right? Animals are masters of being. Humans are masters of becoming.
Wow.
Wow. That's
So
cool.
for both of them, of the last question here, what would they say is like the most meaningful lesson that they had? They're looking back on their lives. What was the big lesson for them each individually?
Oh wow. They're both like going,
Good
It's a really good
question.
all right. Yeah, no, it is a really good question. So for him, he's okay, where do you want to go? Okay, we can go there. That in his life, right? It's that it wasn't happening, like things weren't happening against him. So that's great. Okay, I get that, right? So join her in that too. So that the most meaningful lesson for him was learning that it was safe enough, that you are safe enough to participate. The most meaningful lesson happened right like at the moment of really of transition to know, right, that this one's ending, and something else is beginning, and that's where it happened. Participate in your life. Is most people stand on the sidelines, like waiting, for certainty, for confidence, for proof, for guarantees, right? They're waiting for that. But life keeps asking them to, like, hang on, come in the water, right? That's what we want to do. Hang on and come in. And that lesson for him was, believe it or not, it looks like he was in it all the time and participating because of the accomplishments that he had. But the moment of transition was where he realized that he was safe, right as he was about to leave. And oh my God, I've been safe the whole time. Whoa. Right. And at that moment, knew, right, how much there was for him to participate in, right? That he didn't. Whoa. Okay. That's right. That kind of said, takes me a minute sometimes with some of those, right? For her, right? That great, she's like, it's like almost, it's funny. Like she says, it's almost everything, right? What is the great lesson, right? It's almost everything was her, right? Her greatest lesson. But this idea that life isn't going against you, she's with him on that. When she was alive, she says she spent a lot of years fighting what was happening. Circumstances, emotions, like other people in a way. And one of the greatest revelations is really seeing how much life was totally attempting to guide, right? To guide her, and that it was never other people or circumstances or like what was happening to ecosystems or the planet. It was never that against anything. It was always this, it's like a tidal wave almost, just supporting her and working, lifting her up and working with her so that she could explore anything she wanted to. It was always, right? It was always her call. And that was a revelation, right? That's a revelation. And again, very much like him, it was a bit at the end, right? It was at the end, right? That understanding how much her life, the universe, whatever you want to call it, right, was really guiding her. And even in what she perceived as disappointment or right, uncertainty or a loss, it wasn't punishment. It was guidance. And that was big because she said she did spend a lot of time fighting against a lot of things. And then she realized she didn't have to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
All
very
right.
grateful that both of these spirits have come in today. They've certainly shared some insights I think people will find helpful and meaningful for their own lives. Thank you,
Yeah.
Christy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're pretty interesting today.
I wonder
Not sure.
what Walt Disney and the initials STR were.
I don't know. We never got to that, but it was on a tie.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
STR.
I have to Google that.
Maybe we'll see if we can find it. Sometimes somebody can. It's really funny. Somebody, that I don't know, does enough research, they can find it. It's really funny. I don't know. But yeah, something for us to play with, which is fun, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was, they had some pretty, I thought that was, there were some things they said that were kind of intense.
What's the title, Lift Your Spirits? Where did that come from?
Yeah. That's, yeah, I have no idea.
Is it a book or possibly another podcast you're thinking of?
I don't know. No,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
They said
They
it
were.
as if that was the title of a podcast going on now or something you're working on now. Maybe it's a course or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it felt more futuristic to me. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I wish I could, discern and, delineate what they're talking about, because it can be jumbly, right?
But it was clear that was a title Deanna had somewhere either
In her
happening
head
now
or
or
in the
going to be
future.
happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Isn't that funny? And then the way that it, the way that it came through, it was like, is that, because it was all wrapped into some of this intention, that pre-birth intention that you have, which is right. And it was very uplifting. It was about, I don't know, getting people, helping people to remember how to have that wonder and get lighter. And so I don't know what my like, so you have to go with my filters are, you know, are my filter. So what they're, you know, what they're saying and how I'm getting it is, you know, who knows. But yeah, it was something about that, about her getting lighter. And was it a book? Was it a class? Or was it just an idea? I don't know.
Right,
I don't know how I was seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So weird.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed having both of you on. Before we end the call, I think one question I would have for both of you is, like, what is the biggest takeaway, message that you received from a historical figure that really has changed your perspective on life or shifted it in some way?
Well, they continue to go on and on. So every time they come in, that's the biggest thing. And today they've been harping on this idea of certainty, that humans crave certainty. It's natural given the illusion of separation. You can't remember who you are. And that generates all the fear. In an environment of fear, you'd want certainty. But really, what we've learned is that we came here to explore and discover and create. And you can't do that with certainty. Certainty is not on the table, because that would eliminate all the creative abilities that you would have. But it is natural to crave it, that's for sure.
Yeah. We all do.
Oh, the old safety and the old safety and security button. Yeah, we want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't. We don't really. We think we do, but we don't.
Right.
Awesome. Well, if anybody wants to connect with either one of you, how can they find you?
Well, they can find Christy at christylevy.com. And they can find Gary at theteachingsofjoshua.com, or just listen to Joshua Live, or Google Gary Temple Bodley. Super easy.
Super easy.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being a guest today. It was wonderful. And everybody, thank you for listening as well. And have a great week ahead. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.